Welcome to Breeders Syndicate, where we explore the history of a clandestine scene through the eyes of the folks who lived it. I'm Matthew, owner of Riot Seeds. I'll occasionally be joined by my co-host Not-So-Dog, breeder and grower from Mendocino. Welcome to the underground.
Hopefully more people show up so we can actually give a nice treatise on the past, present, future, maybe. I don't know if we can talk about the future of clone trading, clone collecting. I've talked about it a little bit recently, about a little bit of where people are that have a lot of these strains archived that are rare and old and special. But I don't think I've really given a full, long tale of how it developed over time, how it was when we were breaking into the scene, like how one would even go about collecting clones in the first place, because obviously, you know, a lot of it's trading, and not everybody has something to trade at the beginning. We'll talk about clone circles. Yeah, I got to give myself the own crowd cheer. But until we start that, anybody have any questions yet? Anything you want me to touch on so I don't forget? Anything? Clown hoarding. I could talk about clown hoarding. There's plenty of clowns hoarding in the seed industry. Oh my god, there it is.
Hoarding or whoring?
Yeah, clown whoring. I could do that too. Clown whoring. Those bastards. Clowns are always whoring around. Clone people. Well, this is about clone people. I mean, really, it's, but going to the theory of it, should, it's a Ben Sherman fool, you know how I roll, Clay. It's all the same theory, right? Like you can take a theory and apply it to fools. It's very easy to do. So hopefully you guys can use some critical thinking and apply it, so I don't have to go over every single dipshit that's pretending to be in circles. You know, it's a lot easier just to explain it. Before you know what it is, we're on a re-veg. Oh, I'm not doing cloning tips and tricks, but I mean, just for that quick one, sometimes it's better to take it on a re-veg. Sometimes it's better to take it beforehand. Sometimes things root easier after a re-veg. So yeah. This is George from Walmart. Okay. I think at 80, we can be close enough to start this bullshit. All right. So back in the day, clones weren't really a big thing. A lot of people were using seeds. When I say back in the day, I'm talking, you know, 70s, 60s, on through the 80s, up until the 90s. Clones weren't the primary source for people to be passing genetics. Most of it was done in seed form. That's how a lot of this started. On in through, when you get up into maybe like the Northern Lights era would be a good example of how people started getting in these circles that had certain genetics and were keeping them very tight and only passing it to people in their circles and trusted people. And that all kind of started because, you know, there were different people in each market and giving someone a special clone that was considered elite at the time. And the definition of elite back then is a lot different than now. That is definitely morphed. But you didn't want to give someone in the same area as you, the same exact clone, if it was super special, because they'd be knocking into your market and you guys would end up competing with each other. So you'd basically set yourself up to be competed against. So a lot of times when clones were shared, they were shared in different markets, but there were also clone crews that were pushing out tons of weight and all pushing each other to brand a particular line, kind of like the Northern Light stuff. As you got into online, when Overgrow was popping up and all that, you had a lot of people that had amassed these small little collections of clones during that time, some bigger than others, but a lot of them would amass these small clone collections. And provenance wasn't as much as a serious thing back then. I see you saying clone hoarding over and over, and I'll get to it, dude. I'll get to it for you. But you'd see these people amass these small collections, And as they would speak, they would learn to trust who was going to keep their word on not passing said clones and making it back into their market. And some people would just take the clones and run and do their own thing, rename it, pretend like it's a new thing. And that's how we get to today. So as I entered, I didn't have special stuff, but I was in California. And fortunately, there were a few places. The best one I found was PNC. It was a dude named Ape. And I would say at least 80% plus of his things were legit sourced. He was a strain nerd, like a lot of us are still today. And he did some pretty good sourcing of a lot of OG cuts, pure cushions, purples back then. He did a really good job sourcing. I was just fortunate to be in that area. I also had a clone crew that we were a part of with the Hog's Breath crew. And in that circle, people were allowed to have the cut. We weren't allowed to compete. We weren't allowed to share. And that was super important. We weren't allowed to share it with people outside the group. And that's how you ended up with people like, you know, the P91 crew, the Hog's Breath crew, the Bull Rider crew. You ended up with all these different crews with their one specific cut. And this is kind of before the OG Kush craze when all that was going on. Once OG Kush hit, it was a lot of fronting, a lot of pretending, a lot of fake sourcing, and it got really bad. And as the online market, the online forums kind of blew up, it started to get more and more permeated and a lot harder to verify sources. Now, most of the people that take this seriously take provenance seriously in the first place. And when I say provenance, I don't mean anything more than like the term applies to art. If you have a painting that you have and it's signed by someone, if you can't prove where you got it from back to the artist, you've lost the provenance and therefore it loses value, right? So with clones, it's very much the same thing. You could say, I got this clone from XYZ, but nobody knows how XYZ got that clone. At that point, it's broken, and people who are super serious about it don't really want to trade with you, and they don't want to get in on it, you know? So now we go to today. The trust in the market is all but gone. People today tend to have popped up in the last few years that are big in the clones trading scene that I'm noticing that keep having the same mistakes. And it's because they're trading with people that are new to the scene too, but have them convinced that they are legit and connected to this guy or this guy or this guy or this guy. When it comes to me and my friends, we all know who we've given clones to and who those people have given clones to for the most part. There's always going to be exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, we know who has what clone of old shit, who has given it, who had permission to get it, who didn't, all of the above. And this still exists. This is still a fucking thing. And people around selling clones online aren't a part of those circles. They're not. They never were. Any of those people selling clones online like that with their big ass list, like, hey, I got all these fucking clones, fucking sourced from the breeder cut, blah, blah, blah. These guys are not people that would ever be trusted with clones in the first place from any of our circles. Not my circle, not the other circles that are old that I'm not even a part of. No one's going to trust these dudes with shit. And that's where I'm seeing a lot of the problems arise. Check out your OnlyFans. Radio Ridge does have a great OnlyFans. He's got this great picture of his testicle. Amazing. Do you know any verified cuts that look distinctly different than in his pictures? So we get to the next topic. Verifying cuts through pictures. There are a million reasons why this can't and shouldn't be done and why you don't see guys like me and Inspecta and everyone trying to verify clones through pictures. Expressions and microclimates and expressions, things can look totally different. Totally fucking different. However, there are a few cuts that have certain traits that we know always occur, no matter what the expression is. There are certain traits that always pop out of certain clones. The point being, you guys, the best advice I could ever give anyone is if you want to spend money on a clone from someone, chase that shit all the way back to the breeder. They should be able to do that. If they can't do that, then there's an issue. Don't just take their word for it, because I've seen people saying some wild fucking shit that they're getting past Chem 91 directly from a certain source that didn't happen, couldn't happen, and doesn't happen. And it's sometimes it's hard to get those answers, but if you can't get the answer, then it's not worth getting. Because every time I'm seeing people get screwed, every time they go buy clones from these doofuses, they get screwed. So if they cannot trace the provenance back to the original breeder, there's a problem. And you probably, I mean, you can always take the risk and try, but here's the thing. If you're taking a risk and trying, but you've never had the original clone, how are you ever going to fucking verify it? And people with the Chem 91 cut wouldn't be selling it. Not like that. That's not how that works. So, yeah, Archive Portland's a great place to get clones. Archive's as big a nerd as anyone when it comes to provenance. He doesn't fuck around. So if you're getting stuff from Archive Portland, that's a great source. But yeah, I mean, most of these kids are just trading clones, just trading with people who have no access to anything and shouldn't have access to anything. And then some of these dudes are cool and like they don't understand this has gone on and they repeat it and they repeat the story. And now someone else has that story and they say, but this guy's trustworthy. But yeah, who was the guy that you got it from? Was that dude trustworthy? Probably not, you know? That is the best advice I could ever give you. Chase that shit up the chain. Do not see places like Harborside, they have people that they randomly get. So back in the day, at least, I don't know, I don't want to speak to now, but back in the day, they would have random people bring in clays or trays of clones, or they'd have their in-house cloner, but often they'd have people bring in trays of clones. You're trusting some random ass that a bud tender trusted to bring in clones and vet them. Why? Have you guys ever talked to bud tenders? You know, they know less than probably you do. Even if you're a new person, bud tenders don't get into provenance, sourcing, any of that stuff. If you want to source something, do it right. Take the time, meet people, be friendly, be trustworthy. Don't be a snake, and you'd be surprised how quickly things open up. I've told that to people from day one, and everybody wants to work it around the back end. I can't comment on Finest because I don't know who they source stuff from, etc. But they've been very nice and they've done great tissue culture work. But as far as, like, yeah, I know, yeah. Let's see. Pre-79, $500 a pop, that Bubba. That pre-79 Bubba. But yeah, I mean, if you don't care, then you're adding to the problem. Frankly, that's really what it comes down to. If you don't care and you're passing these stories on without doing the work, then you're adding to the problem. And that's where I have a problem. And that's why you see all this confusion in the market. People throwing up pictures of a Chem 91 that don't look like Chem 91. You know, maybe it's just a really weird grow. Maybe they overblew it. But I see people commenting in these fucking threads. Let me see. For example, let me see if I can find it real quick. Let me see. A good example of someone, you can't really see it, commenting in a thread that has no fucking clue what they're talking about. This Two Currents guy, he's new. He's probably newer than most of you. But he's acting like he has a way that he can, oh, that might be a fucking hybrid, I don't know. Motherfucker, where did you source your Chem 91 to be making these judgments and claims? Oh, you didn't. Oh, did you say you sourced it from one of my best friends? You're lying. So It's how it goes, you know? But then other people don't know. They see this dude speaking in there. They don't know that he's a noob. They don't know any of that shit. And they're like, oh, well, if he says it might be real, then it might. That's how it goes. This is how this shit just spins on and on and on and on. How people set themselves up to be a verifier of cuts when they have no place verifying anything. And you, like I said, you'll be hard-pressed to find someone that will verify or shoot something down. I could give you, actually, with Chem 91, I could give you a few pointers. And I know I've mentioned a few before, but a few pointers. Leaf cannibalization, that's nutrient burn. That's not the leaves cannibalizing themselves. The one trait it does seem to have is the never-ending white pistils, but it looks like someone just newt burned the shit out of a S1 or hybrid of Chem 91. But in certain microclimates, maybe it's hard to say, but I would feel much more confident not even commenting on this thing because there's no way to know for sure unless it's got a lot of the traits and it's missing one. So what can you do? Anyway, Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick example. You know, someone was claiming to have a cut of Archive's Moonbow. Oh, cancel. I didn't want to do that. Someone was claiming to have a cut of Archive's Moonbow. Well, Archive called him out on it, and then the guy's like, "Oh no! I had the breeder cut of something else, Rainbow Belts or something. It's another one that Archive's not going to pass cuts out, his breeder cuts out of." So be careful. Be careful who you trust. Run these fucks down. See what they know about sourcing cuts. See who they're dialed into circle wise. Ask them. Then go ask some dudes in the circle. Likely people will be honest with you and tell you if they're in their circle or not. It's very easy to do. Very fucking easy to do. Anyway, that's about what I wanted to run down on that. I think that it used to be more common knowledge how you did it. You make friends. You get into circles. You don't get shit immediately because everybody's been ripped off to shit. You know, some people get mad that they can't just get that clone immediately because clone hoarders, it's not fair. You know why it's not fair? It's because fucking scammers rip everyone off. And it's been that way since day one. Been that way since day one. So people that do have cuts are not like super open to just some random new guy who says, "Hey, I'm cool. Give it to me. I promise." Like, that's been done for years and years and years and years and been heard for years and years and years. And it's a major trigger for a lot of people. People in these circles love to share their clones. Do I look way more serious? People in those circles love to share their clones because they love sharing dank with people. They don't necessarily like to openly share clones with random people to bastardize the clone. Another good example of this would have been when everyone was trying to chase joint breath for chems. You know, I could go way further into that, but I'm not going to for the sake of my buddy Matt Elite. I'm not gonna talk about old pea blood, but needless to say, blind leading the blind in that situation, and people were still paying joint breath for clones because they really had that hope. It's that fear of missing out, logical fallacy, and it's also the appeal to authority, logical fallacy. Both of those are there. The authority being, "Oh, well, this guy's a breeder. He says he's a breeder. And Pete Bud says he's legit. Well, that must mean these are legit." Well, how much do you know about how much experience Pete Bud's had with the actual clones? Have you ever heard the story about him bringing Chem 4 as Chem D to a cup and entering it? Exactly. So, yeah. I shouldn't have probably gone that far in, but there's a point to it. You can't just trust everyone. Just because someone's name is even linked with the clone, it's not necessarily a good reason to necessarily take their word on clone provenance. So, yeah. Anybody got any questions about that? The Dog Bud Mail, exactly. And P-Bud put his name behind a Dog Bud Mail. Does that make any sense? Fuck no. And everybody else around him was telling, "Don't do that. That dude's a liar. That's going to be a problem and come back to haunt you." But sometimes money is just too much of a yank. I mean, I really, really liked P-Bud. I did. But, I mean, you know, he was backing someone who said they were going to murder me and someone who would say the N-word over and over and over. You know, I can't deal with that. I can't handle that. Hopefully he's figured life out a little better and who to run with and who not to run with. Oh, I gotta go be going to church just because I'm wearing a long sleeve. Mass G said he got a mail and he's also said he didn't. So, you know, that comes back to it. I have a question. Where is the start of the line to get my money back? You know, problem is many don't care about history or the provenance that make loot. Exactly. And a lot of people in here are in here because they do care about that. And that's the point. We want to get everybody educated and on the same page. That, oh no, this is a Key Lime LaCroix. Yeah, these are the bomb. It's pretty much what I always drink. I haven't tried a fire sample of apple fritter. Yeah, I'm not an apple fritter guy. I've never really run that stuff, so I can't comment on apple fritter. Lumpy's given me some good cuts, though, before, and they were legit, so there is that. Lumpy was a good source for the cookies and cherry pie early on. I brought, as usual, I brought out another guitar, by the way, to show you guys. Just because I can. I brought out the Black Beauty today. Now, this is just an Epiphone Black Beauty, but, you know, it's still very beautiful. All gold hardware. I'm actually going to change out these pickups. I have some toaster hand-wound pickups that are going in it. Look a little more Gretschy. Sound a little more Gretschy. Yeah, this is one of the babies, though. All bound. It's the old Epiphone headstock, which I wish it would have been one of the new ones that look more Gibson-y, but it is so pretty, isn't it? Just beautiful. I don't remember why I got it, if I was thinking I was going to play some Mike Ness style stuff or what, but yeah. I'm not, usually I'm the less pickups the better, but this case I went for all three. Shit's pretty. It's in this case. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Leave it up if you can. This is going to be posted on Patreon after this, so if you guys want a rewatch, run it through the Patreon stuff. Yeah, this is in a Gibson case, too. I don't remember where I got the Gibson case at for that one. Are you a neck or bridge pickup kind of guy? Neck, mostly. Neck. I like the neck sounds for punk rock and garage. Years from now, I bet you are glad the headstock is OG. Yeah, probably, huh? I just think it's so much prettier. The other headstocks are so much prettier. But, yeah, I mean, I wanted a Gibson one. But in the end, after owning a bunch of Gibsons and a bunch of Epiphones, I've determined I like the necks better on Epiphone Les Pauls. I don't know why. Like, they have something closer to a Gibson SG-type neck, from my experience. And I like that. Nice thin neck because I've got little lady hands, you know. The, I'm not familiar with the. What is the story around the two Tim? There is way more cuts of Kim D than just two going around. Yeah, there's way more. There's the Sham D, the Kim D, the Dirty D, the Dead Ringer, the Bundy Sis. And some of these are the same cuts, just renamed 100 times. So, yeah, I mean, there's tons. Even Bodhi said his Chem 3 wasn't real. Yeah, that Chem 3 came from a person that we know passed fake cuts, the Incognito dude. But, yeah, I've really tried with Incognito. He has an amazing seed collection, by the way. Like, it's not just shitting on the dude, but he did interject a lot of bad cuts. Yeah. Just grab some super Kim D from Fucker Joe. You just got screwed, Black Metal. He's one of the reasons we had this little conversation. Sorry to hear that, but you know, it is what it is. Let's see. One strain you recommend from you, someone that's never got your gear before. I was thinking about Riot Berry V3. Right now, like with what's available, I'd say like Bubble Berry, Cherry Berry, any of those, just because they're so easy to grow. Yeah, Black Metal. I mean, we talked about this 1,000 times on this show. Yeah. So for the people new to it, Tent Flow actually has screenshots if you need to see them. So, yeah, that dude is not cool at all. Not cool. He's also, he doxed me. So, I mean, he's a dry snitch. I don't know why anybody's fucking with that dude. I made it real clear, real fucking clear about old Fucker Joe. No, I don't. An SD cat? That would be a surprise to me. Never heard of the dude when I was down there. Yeah. In the J Crew. It's a fucking Ben Sherman, man. Fucking Ben Sherman. But yeah, I mean, you know, Bodhi's one of the archivists that I take very seriously. I love Bodhi. Radio Ridge has been doing an amazing job of sourcing legit genetics for a long time. And even before they even talk about them, they run them through a lot of people to make sure that they have a legit cut before they declare having any kind of cut. Which, yeah, no, it's the same guy, Black Metal. You're definitely talking about the same idiot. Another dude, let me give you another example today. And this is one that I probably should have fucking slapped down much harder earlier on. Where is it? Where's the fake bull rider? Oh, maybe I don't have a picture of it ready. There's one dude was showing fake pictures of bull rider. Is this it? That? This dude? This dude, no San Diego old schoolers respect this dude, have ever heard of this dude before that. He's a complete shithead. He had made claims that he and his partner made Afghani bull rider, and he didn't know that there was a difference between Afghani bull rider and original bull rider. So now, since he's been made aware of that, he's now claiming he has original bull rider, which is dead. There is that little situation that is not alive anymore. Never mind that, though. That's just details. Details. If anybody wants a real bull rider cut, the closest you're going to get is Old Betsy and Old Betsy hybrids right now. And there's plenty of those available, so there's no reason to even fuck with someone that stupid. Heard of PNW Strain Hunter? I have not. Where did Skunk One originate from? That's probably the most known story in the history of cannabis and most documented. Sam the Skunk Man. What is a true DJ? Two blueberry. People say DJ Shorts. I went through 23 blueberry cuts to find the one that smells like sour milk and muffins. DJ was the one who popularized the line called Blueberry, but there have been other cuts called Blueberry that didn't come from his stuff from around the same time. So hopefully that helps. What else we got? Bullshit Rider is correct. Yeah, the RX Farmer, that was the Afghani bull rider I was referring to, not the old bull rider that I had in my backpack. Back then it was called Bulgani. Yeah, Black Metal, I guarantee it's the same dude. Same dude we've all been talking about. There's people in here who've been ripped off by that dude that can tell you just as much. It's not on my word. Anyway, what are some old clones that are still around that you would like to get your hands on? Old clones that are still around. I'd like to get my hands on Purple Indica, but it's not even, you know what, like even stuff like that via archive to CSI. CSI is super honest with clones and sharing, and it was asked not to share. So I've still never grown Purple Indica pure. So like a clone like that, I'd be very interested in. Trying to think of some other one. Oh, the corn. The corn's another one I'd be really interested in. Let's see. What is the relation of Old Betsy and Bull Rider? Sister stock. The cuts came from the same person. So, yeah. And guys like Brandon Rust wouldn't know that shit. So... But I bet after this, he'll be repeating it like it's fucking some shit he always knew. See, that's a problem. There are double-edged swords to putting info out there like this. Yeah, I ran some Metal Haze back in the day from Dutch Flowers. We did some Metal Haze crosses. It's a very interesting line. Pretty sure it's Positronics Haze 19 crossed a Skunk One that Positronics sold for a long time and it was renamed. Baby Yoda. I've never even heard of Baby Yoda to be selling it for $1,000. I mean, you know, again, it's possible to buy clones that are legit, but know your sourcing. Always ask questions. Don't just assume. Like, and I get it's very, like, you want to be that one dude who can source something and be like, oh, I'm the one who got it. Yes, I'm one of the very few rare people that have this rare cut, but 9 times out of 10, that's not going to happen. It just isn't. So Tom Hill Haze Skunk One. No, Tom Hill's Haze was a selection from Positronics Haze 19, but it probably was nothing like the same pheno because there were so many different phenos. So, but similar, yes. Have you run much of the Legends or Chimera stuff personally? Yeah, that was some of my favorite stuff back in the day. I ran, from Chimera, Sassafras, Mental Floss. Mental Floss was my favorite out of the Chimera stuff. Let's see what else from Legends. Johnny Blaze, Legends Ultimate Indica. Oh, there's another one. Yeah, those are the top ones from both of them that I really, really dug. How about that archive post, dude selling one? Yeah, we talked about that a little bit ago. Yeah, it is what it is. That's what kind of is helping foster these situations is people like that, you know. But did El Jefe verified cuts of his elites? So what Jefe did was he made it into our circle. And you remember I was talking about people that get into circles and rip people off and get booted out? That's exactly what he did. Everybody in the circle was very open with each other and with clones. And Jefe got a lot of clones from everyone in the group and ripped everyone off and immediately started selling them against everybody's wishes. He's one of the reasons, a perfect example of someone who's a fucking piece of shit that does that. Luckily, he lost most of them. And some of them he was handed were fake. So we can be thankful for that. But yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. What's the one cut that you haven't worked with that you would grab if you could? I'll go with Korn on that one just because. Yeah. Efe was hilarious until he wasn't. I agree. He damaged and burned every bridge he possibly could have fucking had, which made a lot of sense because when he came to our crew, he didn't really have any friends. Korn is an old cut that Archive has. You'd have to ask him what it actually is and the story behind it. I don't remember. What was Purple Pain? There were a few different Purple Pains, but Purple Champagne was supposed to be the derb, the F1 derb. It's been called 1,000 different things, so. Stay Trippy. Who is he with the fake Death Star? I don't know. How big a pheno variation would you see in Chem 91 S1s? I haven't run them, but just from observing people pop them online and talking to CSI, it sounds like it has a fairly good amount of variation. Stuff that looks like sour all the way to stuff that looks like pure Afghani. I don't know what copy genetics is. Double Purple Doja. That's always been pretty rare. So if people pop up at the day, I'm always skeptical, but Fairfax selection according to the IC Mag forums. But there's more than one Korn on there. Fairfax selection. I'm not sure. It might be. Four-way selection. Could be. Did Jeff make Afghani Bull Rider? I don't know. I mean, I smoked it, sold it, Afghani Bull Rider Bud, but I never really cared because it, like, who did what because it wasn't Bull Rider. Didn't have anything to do with it, I don't think. How's the NL Preservation Project? Going great. Death Star. I didn't know El Jefe used a Death Star, so I wouldn't know. That shit from Woodshed was ridiculous. He brought that to a party. I was the first Can Illuminati party, and he was just invited in to come to the party. And he showed up with his Death Star he'd been fucking banging on about how dank it was. And I took one look and one smell. I was like, motherfucker, you got skunk one. You got skunk one, bro. And if you can't tell that, you shouldn't be trading cuts. But yeah, I don't know. It's fucking funny. Yeah, that shit was garb, though. I mean, it was okay for Skunk One, but, you know, it wasn't Death Star. That's for damn sure. I'm not going to sit here talking about some fucking nobody the whole time. I'm looking forward to that project, too. Cross the NL5 to one of those P91S1. It's not a bad idea. I think that could be very nice. Like a older Afghani base. Yeah, that'd be really cool. I've already talked about that. Like I said, I'm not going to keep bringing up or spending time on a fucking nobody. But yeah. Death Star OG is great too. I'm not sure which one you're referring to or what that is. Yeah, so that's a rough treatise on how you should verify cuts, how you go get these cuts. It's really, there's not a great shortcut. I'm sorry. It's not a great shortcut. Sometimes it takes years to get a cut, and sometimes you'll never get it. Just is what it is. You can't. people calling things elites has caused a lot of different ideas about what these cuts are and how good they are. Everything is subjective. So what I consider elite may not be what you consider elite. But back in the day, it was a consensus value given to stuff. If something kept getting passed because there wasn't the online hype system and Instagram for pictures and whatnot, if things kept getting passed, it was because they were naturally hyping themselves because they were dank. And after a certain point, enough people agreed that this clone is dank, that's how you got an elite cut. Nowadays, it's anything that gets thrown on Instagram that some hype schmuck wants you to think, you know, is legit. Okay. What do you think the relationship between Super Skunk and Chem is, if any? I think Chem 91 is a pure Super Skunk. That's just my best guess, but pretty sure on that one. First class genetics is the number one in legit cuts. Well, I'm glad you know that, because I don't know that. I'm sure the guy's nice, but I just he's not in our circle, so I don't know anything about what he has. What's up, fatty? Gainesville Green's still going around. I've never seen a real cut of Gainesville Green in my life. I've seen a lot of fake cuts of it. You know anything about Fire Alien Ramen? That was OG Rascal, and it was a seed line. Oh, you have Cuban Black Haze. Cool. That's what I was talking about. Like that incognito guy. That's one of the ones he brought to the table, along with Ken 3 and Fake Mass Super Skunk. So, yeah. Y'all getting skunked. Y'all getting skunked. We got some stuff first class. I can fill you in. Definitely not unhappy. Well, that's good. See? That's a good call. As long as it's stuff, you know what it is in the first place before you get it. Otherwise, I mean, things can be, this is where some confusion also comes in, because things can be dank, right? You can get a fake clone that's super dank, probably even better than the clone only. However, does that make it legit? You know, you have to know you have to be able to identify something in the first place before you can verify it. Yeah, you just got to know. You have to know it in advance. What's the difference in Amherst Sour, AJ Sour, ACSD? Amherst Sour, new to me. I mean, like, I get, like, people were saying it was from Amherst, so someone smacked Amherst on the front of a sour cut. I don't know anything about that sour cut. I only know ECSD, the Choco, same thing. The AJ Sour was very dank, but what AJ considers his sour now was nothing like the old AJ Sour cut. So, yeah. Salt and lime. Never heard of that. No. See, like the Cuban Black Haze, a lot of people like it. But is that what it is? I don't know. Don't know. I know where it came from, and I know that I know the provenance on it, and that guy passed two other fake cuts when he passed that cut. So, yeah. Yeah, the archive cut of sour would be the same thing as the Choco, the ECSD, etc. So those are the same exact cuts. If you're comparing archives versus Choco, they're the same cuts. Who was the original train wreck? So the original train wreck supposedly was nothing like the train wreck that got pushed by AE32 and the Arcata train wreck. It was much different before that. But the one that gets passed the most is like that lemony terpenylene one. And that's what most people, yeah. And Mandel Crotch put the Amherst on the name. And again, no surprise. Do I think the AJ Sour I used was the original sour? No, I think the Choco ECSD is the original sour. I do. But, I mean, who knows? Again, that's not one we can take back to the total beginning, because there's no true, like, agreement between the original guys that had the sour on what that sour is now. I don't think any of them could identify it today by any stretch of the imagination. And we tried. We tried to get them to do it. So, yeah. Found an incredible train wreck pheno in bubblegum breath crosses. Why is there a train wreck phenos in bubblegum breath crosses? That's weird. Maybe I don't know what bubblegum breath is. Old timers in Amherst that said it was the original sour, originally from New York upstate. It is from New York upstate, but it was not called Amherst Sour. No one's ever called it Amherst Sour back then. As far as I know, it was called Our Diesel, and that's the original name. So, yeah. I mean, people can call whatever they want, but they shouldn't. If they're talking about original sour, it's not super debatable. Possibly a couple sours at first, though. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the other original name for it was the Manny from those guys. So there is also that. I didn't know what Mendo Breath is. Basically, Mendo Perps and Trainwreck. Mendo Breath is not Mendo Perps and Trainwreck, bro. It's OG Kush Breath and probably a Mendo Perps Trainwreck. But OG Kush Breath being the main part of it. Chemdog had fake Chem 91 in High Times. Why would you trust what any of them say? That's hard to argue with. Are there land races that get as commonly knocked off as ties? I don't know on that one. I don't know. In your opinion, what breeders are killing it right now and why? A few episodes ago, I did a long list of breeders that are people that I trust and that are doing some cool shit. So yeah, that you hit back a few episodes and you could probably find that. Moontide, that's another fair statement. Like those smells don't necessitate a lot more than most of the things associated with like the skunk thiols and stuff like that. Skunky thiols are hermaphroditic tendencies and low potency, and that's for real. But people want what they don't know and can't have. So many old elites look like ugly ass plants. I guess terps and highs were a bit more important for a lot of them. I think in modern times, people equate looking good with dankness. That would be the Instagram era of growers. And I don't agree with that at all. Not even a little bit. Some of the most beautiful shit like Blackberry Kush is some of the worst potency on earth. Like, you know, Mendo Perps is fucking beautiful. Not super potent, you know, but it has great terps. Yeah. Name any cookies hybrid. I don't think it's that fucking great, but it's pretty, so it sells. Yeah. I'm not sure yet. Pyramid, haven't run any yet. That's right, Gene. Gene knows what's up. Can't smoke with your fucking eyes, boys. Yeah, it's like the people that run tests and think that's a great example of how to pick your weed and what to sell by THC volume, but you know, people haven't even looked at the entourage effect at all. Hog's Breath is a beautiful example. It wasn't the most gorgeous, but it was one of those ones that hyped itself because it was fucking dank. That's absolutely true. Man, fucking Gene. We're going to get Gene on here eventually. Eventually, he will do it. He will do it and come hang out and shoot the shit. Do you think microbes and fungi and soil contribute to the flavor of weed? I think the root zone is where it does all that exchanging of stuff. So sure, I think sulfur, added sulfur helps with terps and stuff like that. Yeah. Favorite chem to smoke? I liked Chem 1 because it was so different than the other chems, and I like Diesel. Other than that, if we're just saying like just chems, well, I guess that would depend on what chem is, right? Chem 91, NL5 Haze, Chem 4 is one of my other faves. What's a strain that subverted your expectations because of how ugly it was? Colombian Black. It was beautiful to me because I knew its potential, but it was just an airy mess of tiny little bubbles of bud everywhere. But it was amazing smoke. Dalat, yeah, Dalat has a lot of that same look that like the Colombian Black did, just stringy, you know. A lot like what people called Grinspoon that was originally Quaze. What happened to Good Widow? Probably the same thing that happened with everything else from the 90s. People just overdid it, got sick of it. Lots of renames. Lots of bad impressions of weed that was not Widow. Stuff like that. How do you feel now that tissue culture has really started to gain momentum and become more available with honest people? Ask Fatty. I haven't... Ever since I got screwed by Mooney Moondog on tissue culturing, I've stayed so far away from it and don't care because it's just a bad experience. But I know my boy Fatty's been doing some cool shit with it. Dog Walker OG is kind of ugly, but smokes fantastic. I think it's kind of pretty. It smokes great, though. He did not get the cut from Grayskull. Brandon did not get the cut from Grayskull because Grayskull doesn't have the fucking cut. Grayskull will tell you he doesn't have the cut. I had the last of Grayskull's Bull Rider seeds and they weren't going to pop. So we had to take him to a tissue culture guy. Not sure what's up with that since then, but Brandon did not get shit from fucking Grayskull. Grayskull would never fuck with that kid. God, what a... See, but I mean... And again, Brandon Rust is a noob, but people just think for some reason because he says he's not that he isn't. People are liars. You got to ask the people themselves. Why don't you ever smoke weed during lives? One, I don't want to get them shut down. Two, I can't answer fast if I'm stoned. Just can't. I've tried a few live and stoned, and that just doesn't work out well. So either you want info or you want me stoned. One of the two. But you can't have both. Yeah, I don't know that Gray ever had Bull Rider. He had the seeds that we had here, and that's the bag seed, and that was that, as far as I know. So, yeah, know what you're talking about. Don't just trust people because they say they're legit and old school, and they show a picture of a plant and veg saying it's something. Don't just accept that as true. Please. I beg of you guys. Don't, because all it does is fuck everything up. Where can I get some cuts of the Steve Murphy Afghani? I'm sure you can find someone that'll sell you some Steve Murphy Afghani if you keep asking around. I'm sure Brandon Rust will sell you some of Steve Murphy's Afghani. Yeah. I don't know anybody currently keeping cuts of Steve Murphy's Afghani. How is the CSI NL project going? It's going great. Going great. They overgrew everything really fast. It's obviously some kind of Afghani hybrid, which is what we want from NL5. That gives more truth to what it's supposed to be, because we are always going to keep making sure that it is what we think it is. Do you know what Steve Murphy Afghani is? Yeah, Afghani. Or actually, as it was told to me, it could be a Pakistani or Afghani. They weren't sure. It was a girl who went over and brought them back to Steve Murphy. So it could be Pakistani or Afghani, but it was picked up somewhere along that line. Weasel with the Diesel says, Sour D came from his headband siege, which is Cam 91 Northern Lights. So Weasel with the Diesel has told so many different stories. Respect to him. Nice dude. But I've heard too many different stories coming out of dude's mouth to be very reliable. But we do know Vondo. And Vondo has been the most reliable and consistent when it comes to stories about the Sour. And yeah, Weasel with the Diesel knows Vondo too. And they were roommates. But he's been the most consistent and out of the spotlight. Wants nothing to do with any fame, glory from Northern or from Sour. So yeah. How is Golden Coast Vintage Afghani? It was a short, squat, little creamy, hashy Afghani. Nothing great. But it was pretty. Anything about I don't even know who Cosmic Wisdom is. Sorry. Would we get a Shawnee Kids? He just did an episode with me. How would you describe the nose on in structure on Pakistani Chitral Kush? Depending on the phenotype, you can get like blackberry. The green pheno showed a lot of lemon, and there's a lot of terpenylene mixed in. But there's other notes too. Yeah. Caleb would be the person. I mean, CSI would be the person to talk about with that. anywhere Vondo's story can be found. We brought Vondo into our circle and interviewed him extensively, and I just told it to you. So that's about the best place you're going to get it unless you're friends with him. So do you believe that Sour came from Headband? Those guys can't even agree on who named Headband, let alone any of it. I've watched several people from that group, including AJ, JJ, and maybe one of them did name it, but JJ says he's named it, AJ said he's named it, and I believe Klopp said he's named it, Weasel. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe one of them did, maybe one of them didn't. But Sour was before that, so it would make it very hard for Sour to come from Headband. How do you pick a name for a strain? Don't ask me. I come up with dumbass names. If you have autism and you're trying to make friends and be social for cuds, that's going to be pretty hard. Find a group that understands that. I mean, I would be hard-pressed to find a group of seed makers that are real serious into this and real serious into collecting that aren't on the spectrum in some way, shape, or form. Most of my best friends have some level of autism spectrum. Blackberry was a bag seed by Soma Blaze. Correct. Probably Mendo Purps. All of it's probably Mendo Purps. You can find everything that they described as Blackberry in Mendo Purps. So I'm guessing it's Mendo Purps bag seed that they didn't want to admit. Favorite terpinolene dominant clone? I really like the Amnesia Haze. Colombian Black is another one. Fly to Portland and ship yourself some. Yeah, there you go. Thoughts on breeder love in her eyes? I don't know anything about them. They're very new to me. I don't know if they're new to the scene in general, but they're very new to me. Some pretty pictures, though. Nebu's Black Bear was from Sunny's Black Russian. You're backwards. Black Russian was Cherry AK-47, Nebu's Blackberry. And Nebu's Blackberry was probably from Mendo Purps. What makes an OG an OG? I know there's so many cuts out there. Is it just about there being similar traits and a bag seed story? Yes. Roughly yes. Know anything about the Blood Durban CSIS? I do not. There were a lot of different Blackberry Kushes out there. Sunny's Black Russian. It wasn't Sunny's. It was the Black Russian was Nebu's. Nebu's. So you try it and like the chem one. Yes, it's very different from the other chems. It's not super what people would associate with chemi. However, I think it would be great in a cross with dog shit because they are both NL5 haze dominant, probably with some skunk one in there too. I think you'll get more of a traditional Dutch NL5 haze type by running across of the two than most of what other stuff you could buy right now. What are you growing now? I'll put that on a back burner for now. I'm talking about it just because I don't want people saying that they've made what I just made. So, yeah. I rewatched the original Diesel episode the other day. Have you ever seen the forum thread of when ChemDog visited Subcool at his house? Yes. Headband was one of the strains ChemDog had. Yes. And ChemDog himself has told me he's never had Headband. You know, I guess it just depends on what day you ask. I like ChemDog Greg. He's a friend. I really do. But, you know, unless you have copious notes, it's been fucking X amount of years. He was really young when all that was going on. It's very hard to keep track of any of that. Urinal cake. That sounds lovely. Come smoke some urinal cake with me. Hockey puck urinal cake. But yeah. Cokehead Slut was a good name. I agree. I think you would really like this super glue cut. Afghani Northern Lights. Yeah, I mean, when I see stuff like Northern Lights in a lineage like that, where there's no number to it, no nothing, and knowing which Northern Lights were over here and which ones weren't, it could be super dank, but I couldn't ever use it in anything because I just wouldn't I can't chase the provenance on it, and I can't say what it is, unless it was super exceptional, you know? I'd be surprised if anyone remembered anything after visiting Silkwell. That's true. That's true. Have you ever seen any Ethiopian strains making its way up? Yeah, there's people that, people have sold Ethiopian strains before. I don't know much about it on that. Can you talk about Teresia's, I didn't understand what you're asking. Have you smoked the Metal Haze Bodhi is about to release? I've smoked Metal Haze plenty and bred with it, but I don't know about the one that he's using. Anything about Dr. Atomic? Been trying to get him on the show. We'll see how it goes. Did you get your F1 Durham back? Nope. Not yet. Any idea what the harsh chemical spray paint, permanent marker fumes type smells could come from? Different terpenes, combinations of thiols, terpenes, esters, etc. Who is Real Humboldt Seed Company? HSO, HSE, CSI. Well, CSI is Humboldt Original. HSE was the first person to have Humboldt Seed Co., but I have no respect for them for many other reasons. And HSO split off. I think I may be wrong, but as I've heard it, one of the people split off from Humboldt Seed Co. and started Humboldt Seeds Org. Where does the African haze come from? Which African haze? There's like Senegal haze that was a combination of two African land races with no haze in it. I don't know. Yeah, I've been trying. I've been working on Dr. Atomic, but he's not a big internet dude, so it's been a little hard. But I think he'd be a great person to interview. He's been around a long time. He's, you know, made some cool shit. Bubble Man mentioned the clones Doc gave him were covered in PM. Those were the days. Yeah, I'm not sure on the African haze from JD. I haven't kept up on what he's been working with. Any other questions about provenance, clones, genetics in general? Anything that I might know about? Have you tried any Transkei South African strains? I have tried Transkei, tried Swazi early on, Durban. I wasn't a big fan of South Africans, if I'm being honest. Like they tended to be high yielding commercial grade for Africa, which is, you know. I dressed up for this. I dressed up for you. Thoughts on reversal. Sometimes plants don't sack up. They're more look like bananas. Normal? Yeah, different reversals go different ways. Did St. George make Girl Scout cookies? Absolutely not. That's a bullshit story. But it is a story that keeps being spread nonetheless. I've actually tried to get a hold of him to put his story on the record, and they will not do it. Will not put it on the record, but it would be easily trounced. Easily. I did ask the original cookies dudes to... talk about it, and we'll see. Hopefully they will. Hopefully they'll be interested in it. What terpene or combo of terpenes make blueberry smell? Myrcene and then different... doodly-doots. Ever run out any of Skunk Man's gear back in the Icy Mag days? Yes, the Taihei Skunk one. What else did I run a fucking... There were a bunch of freebies that were given out by Sam the Skunk Man back in the day. I did run some of the stuff that they sold through DNA as the skunk train that Sam had made too. Who is on Shango Los talking about it? St. George? Or maybe he was just fucking being a dick to me. Either way, he's not the dude. It's pretty well documented where cookies came from. Pretty well documented. Does a Trinity cut? You are all using a Berry Terps. No. I think that the people who made cookies know what it is, but don't really want to put the full recipe out there. It's very easy to remake cookies. So, I've heard what St. George says it is, but yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where so many people want to take credit for it that there's so much bullshit out there. What is up with Seed Stunky? That dude's a fucking lop. He chose to go with corporate assholes and got booted from our scene of friends because he just chose to work with snitches. And that's what happens. Cherry pie, Pakistani chitrali, no way in hell. No way in hell. Or you'd find constant terpenylene digging all that up. There's no Urkel or OG Kush in that combination. So, yeah. No. Plants tell the truth. People tell stories. I always go back to that. Cookies was life-changing. Oh, Lord. Any backstory in Starfighter? No. That was already when I stopped. When that pot came out, I had already stopped paying attention to everything, like, that new people were doing. Any work with you and Smellboat on the back burner? No, Smellboat's been doing his own thing. He's, you know, he's a daddy. He's got life, so he hasn't really been, doing much. But yeah, he's a good dude. One of the friends. I hope it'd be nice to see him get back to it. Also because he grew really dank weed and he'd always bring it to me. You think Cookies is OG Urkel? I think there's a little bit more to it, but I think most of these expressions that you see in Cookies is an OG Urkel combination. Yeah, you know, Eddie Leapfrog was responsible for a grain sherb. That is different than the Cookie Fam sherb. One is more responsible for Skittles. One is just not. That's why there's a lot of confusion around that. Ever heard of M39? Yes, Skunk One. Isn't that another Skunk One? Northern Light 5 Haze or just Skunk One NL5? I can't remember. I think it's Skunk One NL5 Haze. Some combo thereof. The male Pakistani Chitral was an Urkel morph. Get out of here with that shit. Get out of that. Yeah, that's fucking silly. That is silly. Basic 5 is the NL5 version that SSSC was using in M39. Yeah. NL5 Skunk Haze, I think. What's the optimal THC CBD terps percentage? It depends on what you want out of it for your body chemistry. Any thoughts on Dick Horse Genetics? Never heard of him. Never heard of her. Never heard of her. Ever asked the same question over and over, even though he keeps passing it? I don't know what you're referring to. I'm trying to catch everything. Much about the hardcore OG clone from West Coast Cuts? No, I don't know anything about that shit. Ever try Malawi Gold, NL5 Haze? I have not yet. Not yet. What can I expect to find in your cherry GMO Skittles? Some cherry GMO, some cherry pies, some GMO, and some Skittles. And everything in between. That's the most honest answer I can give because there's tons of phenos. It's a polyhybrid. What regs you got for sale that you'd recommend? Any of the Blue Bonnet stuff. I'm happy with all of it. It just depends on what you like out of weed. That's the most honest answer I can give, you know. Best way to stabilize a herm that's a winner. It just depends on the actual clone. It depends on what you want to get out of it. If you want something that is as close to that clone as possible, it's going to take lots of breeding. What out of your current line, what's your current go-to when you smoke? Ooh, I really like the cherry berry a lot. The blue resin kush is fucking bomb. I'm a big fan of blue, like, berry OGs and stuff. I think they combine really well, especially if you get that, like, Fruit Loopsy Fino out of the OG pushing some berry. That's some beautiful shit. How do you stabilize a herm? It depends on the line. There's no just one method for stabilizing all herms. Things herm for different reasons in different lines and different combinations. The Blubba Kush, I do love Blue Bubba too. How did Bodhi make Appalachia? He did not. High and Lonesome made the Appalachia, and that was Green Crack crossed a Trey Dog. Nobody knows the true origin of the Skittles. Gene would know. He's up there with those dudes. It's up for debates, apparently. I know some people are more confident about it than others. Can you talk about bubblegum and how it got to Holland? Victor. If I remember correctly, Victor was the dude that brought it over, the seeds. You can find it on Adam Dunn's 25th anniversary of bubblegum. I think that's when they had Victor and two trees on, and that was the most legitimate, as far as I know, the most legitimate story that has been given about that. Would you say seedfinder.eu has legit info? Sometimes. I mean, anybody could add any info. I've never added a single strain to Seedfinder, and all my shit's up there, and a lot of it's wrong. So anybody could add info up there. And if anybody could add info up there, then there's bound to be right and wrong. I don't. That Illinois bubblegum story is kind of suspect. I don't. That was not a Victor story. That was an Adam Dunn story. So I don't buy that. So is there an Appalachia male? Appalachia was a seed line. So yeah, there were males, females. There was all kinds of stuff. I think it's a F4 last by High and Lonesome. Whose dick do I got to suck for some legit green crack S1s? I made some back in the day. And if you could find someone with those, they're legit. I don't know. I might make some more soon. We'll see. But green crack is much harder to source than it was at one time. I have seen so much green crack and so much fake green crack since. Gene's 100% confident that nobody knows. Well, then Gene knows. He's there. He's in that friend circle of everyone that was fucking around with the trays and the green sherb and all that shit. What strains are great for headaches? It just depends on your brain chemistry. I'd love to give people answers like that, but it wouldn't be honest to just be like, yeah, this will work for it. You know, are you going to bring back the purple drink back? Wasn't it GSC? It was GSC cross two. Let's see. I don't remember them all in it, but I know it was during the Suge Knight OG cross to the West Coast Dog. I'm trying to remember the Malvinet. It's been a long time. What is fake green crack usually? Not real green crack. Green crack's pretty easy to identify visually or smoking wise. Is green sherb also called key lime pie? Some people call it that. Some people say they're the same thing. I've only ever had key lime pie. I've never had anything in my hands called green sherb. So I don't know. Not sure. Gene might know that one better. Butterscotch G13. G13 wasn't around when the butterscotch wine was passed around, but there was a G13 hash plant that was. Is anyone... Yes, Dookie Bros cut his Skittles. Yes, that's the one that CSI uses. That is the Skittles cut that I know, that I've used. It's not a very healthy-looking plant. It's a little wiry and wrangly. I don't know. What do you think, Gene, on the Dookie Brothers? I defer to guys like Gene and CSI that are up in that area because they are actually interacting with those folks down on the ground there and seeing things like down on the ground. And they'd be much better to answer those questions specifically than myself. That Skittles cut sucks. I'm not going to lie. That thing's a piece of shit. I get why people like it because it is terpy, but it just, structure-wise, it's a piece of shit. Who's got Skywalker OG? Who knows now? I've seen a million different Skywalker OGs. Isn't key lime pie a sister to Thin Mint? Guess it depends who you ask. VSG Twizzard, any insight on the green curry cut? It sounds like whatever he had as the green curry cut was the same thing that we had as Diablo OG down in San Diego. It was like a spicy black peppery with OG terps. It was very specific. I tried the original Chili Verde that actually smelled like Chili Verde back in the day from HBK. It was bomb. It was unique. Very, very fucking unique. There's other chili type plants in the GMO cherry Skittles, but yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that Chili Verde was tight. Old school Spice Life Blockhead, no lineage. Was it Project 19? What was that? African something, Project 19. It's been a long time since I've been asked that. What's up with HBK? I haven't talked to him a lot in a while, but I need to get back a hold of him. I should probably give him a call. We live close together, and we've been friends for quite a while. I guess Burning Bush Nursery said key lime came from them, and it's a GSE pheno hash plant looking thing. Huh. I don't know. I released S1s of the key lime pie cut. They were very, very frosty, but they did look... They looked very Skittles-y, and the Skittles looked very similar to that the cut that came from Jodry. I will say that. He's been bumming. Oh, that sucks, man. Yeah, I'll give him a call. Males and World File Taxi, what gives? I see it often on males in some lines, specifically Chem91, PCKF2. It's interesting. It's not like necessarily a male trait, but maybe it's something from those specific genetics being combined. Favorite shitty strain. There you go, Ortega Sweet Tooth. But where's the Project 19 in it, in Blockhead? Is it Project 19 Ortega Sweet Tooth? That might be what it is. That might be what it is, but I remember Ortega Sweet Tooth. You are correct about that being in it. Wasn't that Louis? So is it P19 Louis? Louis being Legends Ultimate Indica, since that's what Ortega Sweet Tooth is? I can't remember. I can't remember at all. Or is it just P19 Sweet Tooth? Is Skittles Skunk 1 dominant? No, not in structure at all. Terps, I could see some Skunk 1 in it, but I wouldn't say it's Skunk 1 dominant as far as like the expression, the structure, any of that. Cream Sodica. Ooh, Cream Sodica was from... That's a Spice of Life one too. No. That's right, Fatty. You guys did grow a bunch of the Blockhead. They had, who was it? It was Chrome's cut. Chrome from Swamp Boys had an amazing cut of Blockhead. Amazing. I think that's the one that was down there with Tierra Rojo's crew. It was cool. I like that cut of Blockhead. Nigerian Silk. I never tried Nigerian Silk or any of it, so I couldn't comment. Did Burning Bush? I have no clue on that. When it comes to the progenitors of like key lime pie and that stuff, I have no clue. Have you ever had any mango cuts? Yeah, I had a BC mango cut, mango haze, old Betsy's kind of mango-ish. Green crack is very mango. Yeah, a bunch of different kinds of mango. What was the Highwayman? I can't remember that one. What's that district homegrown? What, best guess on closest relative to which? TK Stardog. Oh, that's interesting. Blue Dot. That was an old collective clone for a certain place. And I remember there was a second Blue Dot that came out. I don't know what was used in the Dutch flowers. Blue Dot stuff that was used to make blowfish. Not so headband LA Kush. Let's see. You know, if you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. This will be up on Patreon after this.
When you plant seeds, you number them. Mm-hmm. Seed 1 through 300 or 1 through 20, right. 1 through 80. Well, we did about, I think only like 15 strains, 15 seeds on this pheno hunt, and the number 20 was just popping. When you plant seeds, you number them. Mm-hmm. Seed 1 through 300 or 1 through 20, right. 1 through 80. Well, we did about, I think only like 15 strains, 15 seeds on this pheno hunt, and the number 20 was just popping. When you plant seeds, you number them.
Want more Breeder Syndicate? Be sure to check out our Patreon by going to Google and searching Breeder Syndicate Patreon. We have a secret Discord where we are available at most times and interact daily. There are a lot of perks to be had there, so check it out. Need seeds? Check out riotseeds.com, where you can get our seeds and our reversal spray for making your own feminized seeds.